Let this be an expression of your spirit, your life, with revelation power, that your word can be a transforming force within us. Amen. A little bit of background, where we've been at with the word. The emphasis has been coming on a time of repentance. And as soon as I say that word, for anyone here that's had any type of history in church, that can bring up all types of images and thoughts. But really, the repentance is all about a change of thinking and a change of direction. It may involve certainly having to face deep parts of ourselves that we've tried to avoid and going through experiences of grieving and remorse. But the power of repentance is in allowing the Spirit to change our perspective, how we think about things, returning to God's view, His perspective. And John the Baptist began and said, concerning the Lord's ministry, the kingdom of God is at hand. What did he say? Repent. Jesus said the same thing at the beginning of his ministry. And what that was all about is basically God was going to do something new. And the word was, unless you, and speaking to those that were religious and those that weren't religious, unless you are willing to think differently, you're going to miss it. And that's just what happened. Those that were religious, like the Pharisees that understood the scriptures, were believing for Jesus to come, were not open to having their thinking changed. There wasn't that spirit of repentance. And so he stood right in front of them, and they didn't see that he was the fulfillment of the word of God. So we've been brought into a time of repentance, humbling our hearts so that the mind of Christ can have a deeper and greater place within us and our thoughts can be changed, that we will not miss the way that God is moving and manifesting his spirit in this hour. With that, there's a real emphasis on what the will of God is. As we're repenting, oh, something new. What is the will of God? Well, if you look at the Lord's Prayer, it becomes very clear. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. The will of God is for God's realm, the person of who God is, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be manifest in this realm. In other words, what is true in heaven, the lordship of Jesus Christ, the life that is true in heaven, to be also true on this earthly plane. So the will of God, if we look at it, two parts. One has to do with our being. It means accepting what God has spoken about us, accepting his love and acceptance of us. Then when the will of God is concerning our doing, it has to be about his realm becoming manifest in this realm. So the will of God, as far as if we were speaking about the doing aspect, is about not what we do for God, but what we allow him to manifest through us. If the will of God is being expressed, it means whatever is being expressed has its origin in God's heart and mind. It's not something we work up for him. So here we are in this time of repentance, opening up to revelation, realizing that the will of God is not just us running around doing a lot of Martha works. It's not just being in a church system and doing a lot of good things, and there's nothing wrong with that, but to really express his will means we have to see what is true in his realm manifest through his life. It's supernatural. And that's good, because then it becomes something that our flesh can't produce. All we can do is have faith and be channels for him to use. And it involves a renewed mind. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. This is all just background. And this scripture is very familiar. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. So for the will of God to be proved, or for the will of God to actually be evident in this world, it involves our minds being renewed. It says here, by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. The mind is a very misunderstood thing as far as part of our human makeup, human experience. For some, the mind, I think this, if we look in the religious realm, the mind is something people will focus on, almost make an idol out of it. And the Christian experience kind of boils down to these intellectual cliques. People just get wrapped up in teaching and doctrine. And I'm a firm believer in having the right teaching and everything being biblically based. And believe me, that's a good thing to pursue. But if that's all we have is just the teaching and not the life, we're missing what the will of God is all about. So people will pursue that end of it, and church becomes simply a matter of defining, redefining doctrines. It's kind of a head trip, but it doesn't lead to life. The other end of the spectrum is, since the mind can hold so much negativity and evil, in the religious world there's great fear of it, and it's like a denial of it. Well, anything has to do with the mind's got to be bad, it's evil, get away from it. God gave us these minds that we have. They're capable of holding the thoughts of God and also holding the thoughts of Satan. Look at Peter. He had a revelation that Jesus was the Christ. And the Lord commended him, saying, good, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. That's a revelation from my Father. So in Peter's mind was the capacity to have a revelation of God concerning who Jesus was. Right after that, you read, the Lord's talking about going to the cross, and Peter says, no, that's never going to happen. And who did Jesus rebuke? Satan. He said, you're not concerning yourself with the things of God, but the things of men. So in Peter's mind, that same mind that held a pure revelation from God, Satan was able to exert influence over that mind and pull Peter's thoughts away from the will of God. Okay, what is this called? This is called being human. And we shouldn't be afraid of it and say, because my mind has a capacity for negative and wrong thoughts, it can't be used by God. No, the mind simply must be renewed. That's the promise in the Word of God, that we have the mind of Christ, to be willing to let the Holy Spirit work within us and bring the revelation thinking of God. So it's going to be a struggle between good and evil. It's going to be a struggle between what God speaks and all the doubts and fears that have influence over our thinking. Don't be afraid of the battle. Just believe in the one who is stronger. What's going to win out? That living Word of God that's penetrating your thinking. Now, as our mind is renewed, as our thinking changes, our capacity for faith and love increases. This is a really important point. Our faith, which is really, isn't that the heart of everything? Hebrews 11, how do we please God? How do we walk with God? How do we see the greater works come forth? Isn't it all in that realm of faith, expressed through the faith? But our faith has boundaries that are set up by our thoughts. If a person is rigid in their thinking and not willing to change their thinking, that prison of their mind will limit the experience and expression of their faith and love. I want to give you a couple examples from the Word, and I'll give you a personal example. Gideon, the angel of the Lord, comes to him and gives him a great commission. Do you remember the story in the book of Judges? You can read it later. Gideon's immediate response is not, I've heard from God, I believe it, let's go. The way he thinks about himself, he tells the angel, I think you've got the wrong person here. Now, maybe you're looking for someone in my family, but it definitely isn't me. Poor self-image. That's how he thinks about himself, and because of his thinking, he doesn't have the capacity to believe the word that he's being given. So as you read the story of Gideon, what takes place? God changes his mind. And as his thinking changes, then he has the room for the faith needed to do what God called him to do. Because when he goes out with those 300, that's a whole different man than the beginning of when the Lord encountered him, right? He's full of confidence. He has total confidence in what God's going to do. Because his thinking changed, he was able to hold the greater faith that he needed to do the will of God. Children of Israel, the same thing. They go into the wilderness. They come up to the promised land. They have the word, but they have a certain way of thinking about things that doesn't allow room for the faith needed to go in and face the giants and take the land. And so they come back and say, we saw those giants and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Because of the way they thought, there wasn't enough room for the faith needed to do what God had given them to do. Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. They look and see the same giants and say, wait, no, you guys are not seeing this right. You see it over there? That's the promise of God, right across this Jordan River. That's God's given us that land. They thought differently, and because their thinking had been changed by the presence and the word of God, they looked at the same physical land, but they had faith that embraced the word, and they were able to go in and take the land. I remember when I started in the ministry, in the spirit, I would call it the process of awakening. I was waiting on the Lord. The Lord began to speak to me and made very real to me the power of the living word of God. I had studied the scriptures most of my life, but it wasn't about simply teaching the Bible. It was about words of spirit and life. And you've heard this for you that have been around. We've been together for 30 plus years from the very beginning. There's always just been that faith in letting God speak to us. His word can create. There's a creative power. There's authority. There's anointing. Well, you know what? I have no problem believing in that. If God wanted me to get up here and read a nursery rhyme, that nursery rhyme would be anointed if God told me to read it or speak it. I remember one time in the early years, I got up and the Lord said, I want you to give just one verse. You know, I know you've all heard this story more than you want. And that would be a little bit scarier for me now, but I got up and read one verse, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, and I sat down. Everybody thought it was a joke. But I knew that the power was not in my ability to preach or what I had to say. The power was in his spirit. So I figured obedience to him was a better thing than me just preaching on. I have people today that still come up talking about that service and what it did for them by me not preaching and just saying that giving that one verse because I was led to do so. My point is, in the beginning, when I began to hear and listen to the voice of the Lord, my thinking changed regarding how I saw the Word of God. Instead of a book with a lot of good ideas, I saw a new covenant of spirit and life and a word that could create anything God wanted. So as my thinking changed, there was a capacity for faith to believe this. I have no trouble believing that. Now, if you were to wheel a casket in here with someone in it, dead, and said, well, David, the word of God said they raised the dead. Let's go. I'd have problems with that. That's a pretty extreme example, but I want you to know it's not just in the Bible they raised the dead. Today, in the world we live in, people are being raised from the dead in Africa, different parts of the world. Just because it doesn't happen here doesn't mean it's not happening. But it's the way I think about a casket and what's inside the casket doesn't give me room to have faith that God could work that miracle. Now, that's an extreme. I could point out a lot of things in between there that I struggle with too. But my whole point is, if the Word of God can change the way we think, once our mind is changed and he has his will in that area, it's automatic. He'll fill it with his faith and it won't be a struggle to believe what he wants us to believe. This also works with love. We struggle with trying to love, right? Think about a relationship you're in conflict with. And of course, well, probably nobody in this room has that, but if you can think of one, think about the battle you've gone through in that particular situation or situations, feeling guilty over being critical and thinking, I need to love that person, and trying to love, and God, give me more love. And we struggle because we don't understand how more love comes, just like we haven't understood how more faith comes. As long as we think the same way about that person, we will not access greater love. We may feel very bad over our lack of love, but that won't bring an answer or change. If the Spirit can change the way we think about that person, And as our thinking changes, the capacity for love grows. Examples. Stephen. He brought a sermon in the book of Acts. You remember? He brought it to a very unappreciative crowd to start with. And to finish it off, they killed him. And yet at the end, when they were stoning him, he said, Father, basically he's forgiven him. Don't hold this sin against him. What a tremendous love he had. But you know what? He thought about those people differently than I would if they were throwing rocks at me. You see, he thought differently. He looked out where we would look at that persecution and say, how dare they do that? They're in the wrong. I'm in the right. How, you know, we get all upset. He looked and he saw people that were just lost in darkness. Because he thought differently, there was a greater capacity for love. And out of that love came a forgiving spirit, just like the Lord Jesus had on the cross. You know the story of Philemon? I recite this often, and Onesimus the slave. Remember Paul, the slave ran away from his master and was serving Paul. And then Paul, if you read the story in the New Testament, Paul sends the slave back, pleading in love for him not to be treated as a slave because he was useful for Paul in the service, the ministry. And I mean, you know, we can go back in this story later on, but you look at that and how differently that would play out in today's church system. Paul, the apostle, has the authority. Philemon was in subjection to his authority. He could tell him what to do. Onesimus had done the wrong thing in running away from his master, but Paul could have said, hey, he's useful to me. I'm taking him. You submit. What would have happened in that situation? Is everyone somewhat familiar with the story? It's something you can read later on. I just, for time's sake, I don't want to go there right now. It's in the New Testament towards the back, so that, if that helps you out. Very short story. But if you set up these dynamics in today's world, Paul would say, well, would be defensive of his apostleship. Well, I'm the apostle here. I can tell him what to do. I want this person with me. That's it. Onesimus probably would have experienced a lot of guilt for having run away from his master, an unresolved issue there. Philemon probably said, okay, Paul, you're the big cheese. I'll do what you want, but there could be resentment. A lot of things could have played out. But you see, Paul thought differently about that. He didn't think of himself as the big cheese. Even though he could command people to do what he wanted them to do, that's not what he was after. He looked at the situation and thought about all the players involved and what was best. Because his thinking was humble and changed, because he wasn't in this ego mindset of trying to prove his apostleship, there was a greater capacity for love and healing. Here you had a runaway slave that was received back, not as a slave returning to his master, but as a fellow brother. There was a tremendous healing that was released because Paul was willing to think the way that God thought about the situation. And again, when our thinking changes and our mind is renewed, the capacity of love increases. We have love. Okay, how does the mind get renewed? Let's look at Romans chapter 10. The mind becomes fixed on and is shaped by what it focuses on. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. And we're talking about the word here, we're talking about the rhema. Not just the written logos, the written word, but it's the word that is being spoken in the Spirit. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want to present something to you. Our minds are very complex, and I know we've experienced a lot of battles and struggles and trying to be spiritual and trying to tame all these negative thoughts. And probably you are very frustrated with the lifelong battle with the way your mind has worked. But I believe the focus is not on trying to change the state of our mind. I think that just makes us more anxious, more self-focused, and more in bondage. I think the focus is on being exposed to that rhema, that living word of Christ, being positioned in a place where we're hearing God, not having heard. That's not a matter of, well, I heard a word from God yesterday or a year ago. It's in a place where we're hearing, listening to what the Spirit is speaking, that heart of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because as we're hearing the word of Christ, it's like creating new pathways within our thinking. It changes how we think. Faith comes from that. But we're talking about the capacity of faith. How does this work? As we're listening and we're hearing, our thinking changes, and faith is born out of that atmosphere. It increases. And likewise, so does love. You know, the problem we have in our thinking is we've created all these highways. You've probably heard me say this before. And those highways, we travel down them, and a lot of them are negative highways. And so something will come up in your day, and it will remind you of this pathway you've been on. And it'll just put you back on that same negative road. Something will trigger it, because you spent a lifetime carving out these certain roadways in your thinking. And a lot of the roadways we've carved out are negative patterns of thought. So what does God do about that? He says, quit focusing on that. Listen to me. Because every time you hear a revelation word from the Lord, it's creating in your mind a new freeway. And the more you hear it, the more you travel on that freeway, that's what you're aware of. What about all these other negative avenues we have in our thoughts? He must increase so that we decrease. What you feed grows, what you starve dies. The more we're listening to the Spirit, new pathways are being created in our thinking by the Spirit of God. They grow stronger. The old, the negative, since we're not traveling down them, I mean, I can't travel two places at once. If I'm listening to the Spirit, I can't be listening to Satan at the same time. If I'm listening to God speaking to me about his love and I'm listening to that flow of faith, I can't listen to my own fears and doubts at the same time. The more we're exposed to his presence and listening to what he is saying, the less we're listening to these old ways, and they die out. Principle of displacement. So I think, yes, it is a battle, but I think we need to relate to the battle differently. Let's let our exposure to his voice, that living revelation word, create in our thinking that renewal. And the more we're renewed, the more we're aware of the renewal. We think differently, and the old dies out. 2 Corinthians 5:7. And we're pretty close to closing here. No, I'm in the wrong place. I can just read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, and then I guess again at this one. We walk by faith, not by sight. And then verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us. Okay, two verses dealing with faith and love. That's 2 Corinthians 5, 7, and 14. I think it would have been probably less distracting for me just to quote the verses. When our minds are not renewed, they're in control, aren't they? They want to control your reality. They want to shape how you see things. And the problem with that is our minds, when they're not in a renewed state, are open to all sorts of lies, deceptions, distortions. So we don't even know what we're seeing, how accurate we are. But the unrenewed mind is also not submissive to God. It's in Romans 8, that struggle between the mind of Christ, and talks about the carnal mind. It's not subject to the laws of God. It wants to be in control of everything. And the frustration there is when we feel the control of our own thinking, we're not aware of the dove leading us and his Spirit leading. So what happens? We allow, by listening to his voice, that living revelation word penetrating, renewing our mind, there's a change. As our mind gets renewed, it doesn't have to be in control anymore. Isn't that interesting? I hope, are you getting this point? When the mind is renewed, we become comfortable trusting in God. Our thoughts don't have to control everything. We don't have to know everything that's going to happen. And so these verses become real. when the old mind's not trying to be in control because the renewed mind is in right relationship to the Father, then we walk by faith instead of sight, and it's okay, like Paul was saying. His mind was renewed, so he didn't have to have the sight of his own thinking trying to control his destiny. He said, every day is a new day. I walk by faith. When our mind's renewed, we don't have to be controlled by the law. It says in verse 14, the love of Christ controls us. We're led by the faith in our heart and his love within our life and wherever that takes us. And we're okay with it. We're secure with it because we have a renewed mind. Last verse I will read to you. And just to confirm this, Galatians 5, 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. Doesn't matter about religion, it's saying, but faith working through love. The renewed mind brings us to a place where it's his faith working through his love, and that's the fourth force that directs our life and opens up our destiny. Amen. Let's stand. And memorizing verses, but Lord, hearing that revelation flow that can only come from your heart and mind. Exposure, Lord, where our thinking can be transformed, where new freeways, new avenues can be created in our mind, new patterns of thought, because your word has the anointing, your voice has the power and authority to create that within our mind. Continue to renew, Lord. Free us from the old. Renew our thinking, Lord, where we can hold the level of faith and love that we need to have in this hour so that your kingdom and your will can be expressed and manifest on this earth. Amen.